Do you ever stop for a cup of tea on the motorway at motorway service stations? I quite often do when I travel up and down. And more often than not, the tea is served in those funny little metal teapots you get at motorway service stations. And the comedian Ben Elton has helpfully pointed out that these little metal teapots have three rather remarkable properties. And the first remarkable property is the super heat conductive metal that they're made of. So when you actually get the tea in these metal teapots, the handle is white hot. And you know it is, because the people who serve it to you do it with a very big cloth, and they put it just near your tray, and then they fold their arms and stand back and watch smilingly as you then sort of weld your hand to the teapot. Well, once that you've put it on your tray and you've negotiated the white-hot handle, you discover the second remarkable property of these little metal teapots, which is the cleverly engineered cup-avoiding spout. And as you pour in the tea, it sort of gurgles and spurts and goes everywhere except into the actual cup. And then just as you're pouring it in, the lid opens and it all comes shooting out and goes everywhere all over the table, which then reveals the third amazing property of these little metal teapots, and that's the TARDIS-like quality of them. With the amount of tea swirling around the table bears no resemblance to that small little teapot you started off with. The teapots are a disaster of a design. And the one thing they're supposed to do, which is deliver tea to your cup, they don't do very well at all. In fact, they need to be redesigned, probably from scratch. Well, as we come to the last in this current series, in this part of Ephesians, we come to a question. Now, the big question is this: are our lives the right shape to serve Jesus? Or are we a bit like those little metal teapots where, in fact, we're not quite the right shape in our lives to do what we want to do for him? Are we the right shape? Or is there something about us that means when we come to serve Jesus, it doesn't quite work out because of the shape of the lives that we lead? When, in fact, the verse we're going to look at is chapter 2, verse 10. Do you see that there? And this verse, I think, tells us three important things for us. And the first is this. It tells us who we are, or rather, what we are. Look at the first part of verse 10. We are God's workmanship. God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. This is what we are now. And it's in great contrast to what we once were. Do you remember that from verse 1 of chapter 2? Look back at verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were dead. But through Jesus, you've been recreated. You've been resurrected. You've been made alive towards God. And the word workmanship there in verse 10 literally means his work of art, his masterpiece. I wonder whether you have thought of yourself as a work of art, a masterpiece. If you're like me, you look in the mirror and you think, goodness gracious, I'm not a work of art and I'm not a masterpiece. And especially when we think about ourselves as well, we know how flawed we are. We know how unbeautiful we can sometimes be, how ugly we can be. So how can we be a masterpiece? Well, the crucial phrase there is created in Christ Jesus. That's the crucial phrase. God has taken us, who are spiritually dead, and resurrected us, recreated us through Jesus Christ. That's the work of art. That's the masterpiece about us. We've been made alive to God through Jesus Christ. So you see, as Christians, we should only ever get our sense of identity and our sense of self-worth of who we are through Jesus Christ, not anything else. The world tries to persuade us to get our identity or sense of self-worth through many things. Well, through looking in the mirror. What do we look like? Or how we've performed on a particular day. Whether we pray. Sometimes as Christians we think, well, actually how I think about myself depends how I've performed in my Christian life. Or how we feel. It's very easy for us to take our sense of identity from something like that. But no, it's what we are created now in Christ Jesus. It's through him that we become this new creation, this workmanship of God. Do you remember how Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians? He says this, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And that's what he means here by us being workmanship. That's what we are. That's what you are in Christ Jesus. You are a masterpiece. You are dead spiritually, but now you're alive towards God through Jesus. So that's what we are. We're God's workmanship. And secondly, this verse tells us what our purpose is. Let's look at verse 10 again. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, there's an absolutely crucial point that I've got to make here, which no doubt other speakers have made again and again, and I'm going to make it one more time. Look at verse 8. It is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We are not saved by works. You've heard that many times, no doubt. Why? Because what we needed was not to do good works. We needed to be recreated. We needed to be someone to make us alive towards God because we were dead. Only the Creator can do that. If you're dead, you could do nothing for yourself. It's the Creator who does that. So good works can't save us, can't do anything if you're dead. We need recreation to be made spiritually alive. That's what saved us. But once we've been made spiritually alive, then our purpose is to live a life of goodness, the life of good works, life of works which reflect Jesus Christ. And maybe more strictly, what this verse is alluding to is that because we have been recreated, because now we're God's workmanship, then we will live out good works as a natural consequence of who we are. If you look across at chapter 4, verse 1, look what Paul talks about there. He says, look, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Become what you are. You are now God's workmanship. Therefore, live out a life which reflects what you now are. Live a life worthy of your calling, of who you are. It's like getting married, I think. You don't wait to become married by waiting till you become a good husband or wife. Well, nobody would get married, actually, in the first place. More to the point, you don't wait to reach some standard before you get married. Nobody would get married. You wouldn't reach it. More even to the point than that is that you don't make yourself married. Somebody else says you are married. They say, I pronounce you husband and wife. They make you married. But then, in the light of now what you are, the husband and wife then learn to what it means to be a good husband or wife. You live your life in the light of who you are. It's the same as a Christian. You now live your life in the light of who you are. You are God's workmanship, his masterpiece. Therefore, you live your life in the light of that. Our purpose is to live out what we now are. And Paul puts it again in a slightly differently. Look over at chapter 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Do you see that? To live a life of love just as Christ loved us. The point of being God's workmanship is that this is now possible for us. We can live a life of love, the sacrificial, selfless, self-giving love that's come into our lives through Jesus. We've been resurrected for that. God's work in us means that it's possible for us to live the same kind of love that Jesus has shown to us. That is the point of being his workmanship. You've probably seen people wearing these wristbands with WWJD on them. Have you seen those? They stand for What Would Jesus Do? It's a great question for all those who are Christians. What would Jesus do in your shoes? What would he do? What would Jesus do with your colleagues, with your friends, with your family, in your work situations, with the pressures that you meet? What would he do in your shoes? What would Jesus' selfless love and sacrificial love look like in your situation? By being his workmanship, it is now possible for you to begin to live as Jesus would do in your situation. That's the point. You see, as God's workmanship, the world can never be the same again. It can never be the same again. Everybody you meet matters to God, either as someone who's dead in their sins and transgressions, or as somebody who's a fellow, recreated being, who ought to be loved as a fellow brother or sister in Christ. There are no ordinary people left. Once you become God's workmanship, you see the world differently. People are either lost, going away from God because they're dead, or they're recreated beings, alive to God. So everybody you meet is in one of those camps. People matter to God. There is no more ordinary people left. C.S. Lewis put it like this: there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. It is in mortals we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. So when you return to work in a few minutes' time, it's not to ordinary people that you return. No. The workplace is a place where all those familiar people are people to whom you should be Jesus. You should be Jesus to them as people who are either dead in their sins or recreated through Jesus Christ. And there are no ordinary people there. And it is difficult, isn't it, in familiar places and with so, so familiar people to see the eternal perspective. All those people you bump into every day, you think, oh, that's just old Sally, or that's just old Jim. We meet them every day. No. They matter to God. They are immortals, either dead in their sin or alive to God. There is no in between. So what would Jesus do in your shoes? So this verse has told us who we are. It's told us our purpose. And thirdly, it tells us that our world is full of possibilities. Look how the verse ends. Well, let's read the whole thing again. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, that last part there, it doesn't mean that every good work is predetermined. It doesn't mean that, like robots, we just step by step do all the things that we've just got to fulfill because God's put them there for us. What I think it means is that the nature, character, and the direction of the works are predetermined because they're Jesus-shaped works. They're selfless works. They're loving as he's loved us. And so there's another contrast here between verses 1 and 2 and verse 10. And it doesn't immediately come out in the translation we've got, but it's there. If you look at verses 1 and 2, as for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. In fact, it should be in which you used to walk. That's the verb, to walk. And so when we come to verse 10, it says, which God prepared in advance for us to walk. It's the same verb. And so there's a contrast. We were spiritually dead and now alive because we're God's workmanship. We walked in transgressions and sins, but now we're able to walk in good works. That's the contrast. Spiritually dead and now God's workmanship. We used to walk in sin and transgressions, but now we can walk in good works. And that's the important thing here. The really important point that in this fallen world, walking in these Jesus-shaped good works is not only possible, but it's God-planned. It's God-planned. God has made it possible for you to live as Jesus would. He's made it possible for you to act as Jesus would in your situation and circumstances. Somebody once came to me a few years ago and said to me, "Rupert, I'm in a staff room, and the relationships are really bad. There's backbiting, there's arguing, there's suspicion. The atmosphere is really bad. You know, how can I, as a Christian, make a difference? How can I bring something of Jesus into that situation?" Well, we thought about it, and I just sort of asked the question, "Well, what happens at break time when you all meet?" I said, "Nothing." I said, "Well, why not take in a bag of donuts? Just see what happens." Well, do you know, this person did that. And they came back and said to me after a bit, they said, "You know, it changed the atmosphere. It seems trivial, but it changed the atmosphere. Because by giving that, suddenly everybody started thinking, well, what can I bring? Well, what can I bring?" And then actually, as the weeks went on, people started relating differently. And through that, this particular person could say something about their faith. You know, selflessness, even at what might seem a trivial level, selflessness, sacrifice, can change a situation. Spontaneous generosity, people are often puzzled by. Why have they done that? There's no answer except, "I just did it." Well, in your situation, what can bring something of Jesus into where you live and to where you work? It's about bringing grace. Remember, it is by grace you've been saved. That's what's come into your life, and that's what you should take into the lives of others. That's what these good works are. They're works of grace, works that imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. And there will be opportunities. That's what it means. God prepared in advance for us to do. There will be opportunities. God has planned them. There will be opportunities for you where you work. Yeah. We need our eyes to be opened. We need our hearts to be enlarged. We need our compassion to be increased. We need our boldness to be strengthened to live and to work for Jesus. What would he do in your shoes? What we mustn't be is like those little metal teapots with works avoiding lives or sacrifice avoiding lives, where we keep ourselves in a nice little compartment and we don't live out what we are. You are God's workmanship. Live it out. Live it out. Ephesians 2, chapter 10, verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We must obey him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wonderful grace that's come into our lives, that's changed us. Thank you for making us alive through Jesus Christ towards you. May you give us eyes to see how we can do these good works that reflect Jesus Christ. Give us the courage and the boldness to do them. May we live out who we are. We're your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen.